It's a delight to welcome you all on behalf of Calm Baptist Church. I hope that you'll feel at home amongst us here. At the end of the service, you'll be invited to stay to join with us for refreshments and nibbles, which will be served in the entrance area. If after the service, children... Sounds like they want to run around now. If after the service, children wish to run around, can I suggest they run around in the hall to my right? And please, if your parents, can you supervise them? That would be great. Also, you're aware that there are candles lit. Please be careful, particularly if you have your back to a candle. Take extra care. This service of worship will run unannounced. The words for all the congregational carols will appear on the front wall. We have come together as the family of God in our Father's presence to celebrate the great festival of Christmas. In this service, we hear again the words of the prophets and receive the good news of the birth of Christ. And we offer to God our thanksgiving and joyful singing of carols. As we gather together in the name of Christ, we pray for the world he came to save, for the church, that it may be enabled in our generation to surrender anew to God's holy wisdom and bear the good news of God's love to a needy world. For the world, which is already Christ's, that all its peoples may recognize their responsibility for its future and may be inspired by the message of Christmas to work together for the establishment of justice, freedom, and peace everywhere. And for all in special need, the sick, the anxious, the lonely, the fearful, and the bereaved, that the peace and light of this Christ child may bring hope and healing to all who sit in darkness. We commend all whom we love or who have asked for our prayers to the unfailing mercy of our Heavenly Father. Amen.
I heard the angel calling, telling me to come and see, fall and worship at my new Lord's birth, sing praises at his feet, fall and worship at my new at his feet. But what can I give the Lord of love when all I do is sin? How can I honor his new kingdom if his grace I cannot win? I heard the angel calling, there is no need to fear, just believe and live and trust in him, his love for you is here. Just believe and live in trust of him, his love for you is here. But if I was to give to him my love, what surely must I give? For my life is in denial, see and do. Calling out my name, saying all the world's within his grace, love beyond all time and space, saying all the world's within his grace, love beyond all time and space. The
prophet foretells the coming of Christ. Bethlehem Ephrath, you are one of the smallest towns in the nation of Judah, but the Lord will choose one of your people to rule the nation, someone whose family goes back to ancient times. The Lord will abandon Israel only until this ruler is born, and the rest of his family returns to Israel. Like a shepherd taking care of his sheep, this ruler will lead and care for his people by the power and glorious name of the Lord his God. His people will live securely, and the whole earth will know his true greatness, because he will bring peace.
Thank you. an angel tells about the birth of Jesus. 1 month later, God sent the angel Gabriel to the town of Nazareth in Galilee with a message for a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to Joseph from the family of David. The angel greeted Mary and said, "You are truly blessed. The Lord is with you." Mary was confused by the angel's words and wondered what they meant. Then the angel told Mary, "Don't be afraid. God is pleased with you, and you will have a son. His name will be Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of God Most High. The Lord God will make him king, as his ancestor David was. He will rule the people of Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am not married." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come down to you, and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth is also going to have a son, even although she is old. No one thought she could ever have a baby, but in 3 months she will have a son. Nothing is impossible for God." Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said." And the angel left her.
Emperor Augustus gave orders for the names of all the people to be listed in record books. These first records were made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to go to their own hometown to be listed. So Joseph had to leave Nazareth in Galilee and go to Bethlehem in Judea. Long ago, Bethlehem had been King David's hometown, and Joseph went there because he was of David's family. Mary was engaged to Joseph and travelled with him to Bethlehem. She was soon going to have a baby, and while they were there, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in strips of cloth and laid him on a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Tell the shepherds of Christ's birth. In the fields near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep. All at once, an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day in King David's hometown, a Saviour was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. You will know who he is because you will find him dressed in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, many other angels came down from heaven and joined in praising God. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to everyone who pleases God." After the angels had left and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angel had said about him. Everyone listened and was surprised. But Mary kept thinking about all this and wondering what it meant. As the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. Everything they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said.
Thank you. Became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
What love is this that gives?
it's a ball. Become so small that we might live a love that takes on human flesh and in a manger finds its breath. What love is this that calls the least and beckons them to find a babe from hilltop where they gain their keep to kneel and worship all they crave? Angels sing of love, come down, a Savior born for all. Glory to our Father God. Shalom, shalom, through all creation. What love is this that calls us each to turn from that which holds us back and face the truth that Christ has come, the faultless image of God's grace? What love is this, the Lord of light, and through his brightness all are drawn to claim their Saviour, hope of heaven, the Word incarnate, Christ adore. Angels sing of love, come down, a Saviour born for.
imitating Christ's humility. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
God's final word, his Son. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
You and I live in a world where status symbols are so important. When I was little, the labels were inside my clothes. Now it seems like they're always on the outside. I spoke to a mother not long ago whose son during the summer was going on a scout camp, and he had gone and bought himself some new clothes, but he'd bought them at George Asda, and she found him in the bedroom cutting all the labels out. Status symbols are so important. The designer dress, the turbocharged sports car, the Rolex watch, the Gucci handbag, all signs of wealth and success. And yet, how far removed all of this is from the world of Jesus. The only sign that the angel gave to the shepherds was that you will find a child wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. This was the sign that the Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord had been born. What an amazing and contradictory sign, hardly fitting for one bearing such honouring titles. In the first place, this was a sign of recognition. The key to the recognition that Jesus was lying in a manger. There was nothing unusual about the baby being wrapped in strips of cloth. Such cloths were standard in homes, both of the rich and the poor. Not to wrap a baby in such a way would not have been to take care of the baby. It was the fact that the baby was lying in a feeding trough that was significant. No fancy Moses basket for this child. Instead, the first century equivalent of an orange box. This was the sign by which the shepherds knew that they had arrived at the right place. No other family in Bethlehem would have had to resort to such a basic place for their baby. But it was also a sign of the future to come. It was a sign of the lifestyle Jesus would take on when he began his ministry. So to one would-be follower, Jesus once said, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In order to fulfill his mission, Jesus held loosely to the material things of this world. And he expected his followers to do the same. In today's status-ridden consumer society, that comes as quite a shock. But most importantly, this was a sign of the present. It was a sign of the depths to which God was prepared to go in coming amongst us. Around 800 years previously, Isaiah had spoken of a sign that God would give. "The young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." God fulfilling that prophecy went beyond Isaiah's wildest dreams. There in the manger, Emmanuel, meaning God with us, was present. The manger is an amazing sign of divine condescension. The thought of a Saviour who is the Messiah, the Lord, lying in a manger is almost beyond our understanding. It defies all normal reasoning. In a fantasy book, The Visited Planet, the author tells of a senior angel who is showing a very young angel the splendors of the universe. At first, they come to one particular galaxy of 500 billion stars. As the two drew near to the star, which we call the sun, and to its circling planets, the senior angel pointed to a small and rather insignificant sphere turning very slowly on its axis. It looked as dull as a dirty tennis ball to the little angel, whose mind was filled with the size and glory of what he had already seen. "I want you to watch that one particularly," said the senior angel, pointing with his finger. "Well, it looks very small and rather dirty to me," said the little angel. "What's special about it?" The little angel listened in stunned disbelief as the senior angel told him that this small, insignificant, and not so over-clean planet was the renowned Visited Planet. Do you mean that our great and glorious prince went down in person to that fifth-rate ball? Why would you do a thing like that? The little angel's face wrinkled in disgust. Do you mean to tell me that he stooped so low as to become one of those creeping, crawling creatures of that floating ball? I do. And I don't think he would like you to call them creeping, crawling creatures in that tone of voice. For strange as it may seem to us, he loves them. He went down to visit them, to lift them up, to become like him. The little angel looked blank. Such a thought was almost beyond his comprehension. The angel said to the shepherds, "Today in the city of David a Saviour has been born for you. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child lying in a manger." It's no wonder the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. The question for each one of us this evening is, will we do the same? Amen.
Nazareth of Galilee, an angel speaks the sacred words. Mary, you will be with child, a miracle of virgin birth. Joseph heeds the angel's sign and takes her as his promised wife. Now through the night plan their course ahead, searching for the promised king. Now from the east a guiding star, how far is it to Bethlehem?
sweet as to your heart.
Thine advent here. and death's dark shadows pour to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Loving Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, whose birth was at Bethlehem, that we celebrate. Make our hearts and our homes always open to him, that he may dwell with us forever, and we may serve him gladly all our days, to the honor and glory of your name. Amen.
Come, O ye faithful, come, O true.
May I take this opportunity to wish you and all your families a very happy Christmas. If you wish to join us over the Christmas period, we'll be here on Sunday at 10:30 in the morning. There's midnight communion starting at 11:30 at the Methodist Church at Silver Street. We'll be combining with them, or on Christmas Day at 10:30. Or if you're up for something a little bit different, this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Lansdowne Strand, get yourself a drink, and we'll be joining in some carol singing there. Do come and join us 7 o'clock this Thursday. Let's pray together. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. Let the work of Christmas begin. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his presence upon you this Christmas and always. Amen.
Amen.